You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined by Diana West, a regular here at Secure Freedom Radio, of course, a syndicated columnist, best-selling author, and just an extraordinary resource. You can find her writings most conveniently at dianawest.net, but also by tuning in here. Diana, welcome. It's great to have you back, as always.
Great to be with you, Frank.
You've written a couple of pieces that really cry out for further examination and discussion, and maybe we could start with the one that had the provocative title, What Do You Do When the Enemy of the State is the State? And you contrast how we've been fulminating of late over this unfortunate business in Ferguson, Missouri, involving a young man by the name of Brown, but seemed to have completely neglected, really, a travesty of arguably even greater proportions involving a serviceman by the name of Bahima. Talk about it, please.
Yes, well, when the facts began to emerge from the grand jury proceedings, which I believe it's unprecedented, the St. Louis County prosecutor actually uploaded all the proceedings, all 24 volumes and various interviews and other pieces of evidence that the grand jury considered. And we learned that to the best ability of discerning an event to which there were no official witnesses, but had to sift from, you know, various people's testimonies that shifted and so on, that Michael Brown charged the policeman, and you had an unarmed Michael Brown charging an armed policeman, and the policeman fired in self-defense, and the grand jury essentially, that was the case that the grand, or that was the situation the grand jury made its determination on. It immediately just brought it back, a flashback of the facts around the very famous case of Michael Bahena, an Army Ranger lieutenant in Iraq, who had in an identical situation, being an armed American soldier, being rushed by an unarmed terrorist, in this case, and shooting in self-defense, and yet Michael Bahena received a 25-year murder sentence. Mm.
Diana West is visiting with us about, it would seem a serious miscarriage of justice, not in Ferguson, Missouri, but in the courts of the U.S. military's justice system. And continue, if you would, Diana, on that point about what happened to Michael Bahena in this instance.
Yes, well, the case ground on through the courts of appeal, and I sat at the highest military court of appeal hearing, and heard government military prosecutors, develop a case whereby they argued that Michael Bahena had lost his right to self-defense, and that this was the reason that his murder conviction should be upheld.
On what basis had he lost it?
On being an armed soldier, he was involved in an unauthorized interrogation, and when he was rushed by an unarmed man, that because of these conditions, he had no right to defend himself. This is what actually the government was arguing. Now, Michael Bahena has since been released on clemency this year. Earlier this year, he was released on clemency. His sentence did not ever, you know, get overturned and so on, but he is out, so people should know that. But what the whole thing suggested to me was this tremendous concept of how the state, the federal government in this case, the military justice system very often seeks to punish our protectors. And when you think about that, you sort of open the circle a little bit more and you look at the efforts, particularly by the Obama administration, to, for example, release as many Guantanamo terrorists as possible, to close Guantanamo. When you step back again and look at the pattern going back in the Bush years and through the Obama years of releasing, giving clemency to thousands of terrorists with American blood on their hands from the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan both, and yet we have not just, now Michael Bahena is out, but we still have American soldiers in very difficult battlefield conditions sitting in Leavenworth and other prisons with murder charges and other kinds of cases, sitting in jail with no effort to release them by the federal government. And so the contrast, and why I discuss the enemy of the state being the state, is you get this idea, this pattern of the federal government in particular always deferring to the other side, always extending the benefit of the doubt to the other side, whether it's the Michael Brown case, whether we're looking at the cases of terrorists, whether we're looking at Guantanamo Bay, always trying to throw the book at the very people in various uniforms who are trying to defend the country. Yeah.
And, you know, Diana, it does raise the obvious question whether we will continue to have people willing to put themselves in harm's way to protect us if we treat them in this fashion. Diana, let me switch gears. You've brought up this issue of the jihadists, many of whom had been incarcerated for a time, at least, in Guantanamo Bay. The president, as you've indicated, seems determined to close the place. Now that the last election of his presidency is behind him, he is going for it, perhaps in the same lawless fashion that he did the executive amnesty recently. I'm struck by the fact that as he's doing this, we know that roughly a third, and I've got to believe that's conservative, but roughly a third of the people that have been let go in this fashion are turning up again on the battlefield. Indeed, I was told yesterday that some 30 different individuals from Guantanamo Bay are now fighting with the Islamic State. And I just wonder, again, it goes to this question about who is protecting us. It certainly does not seem to be the Obama administration. Am I wrong?
No, it doesn't. Absolutely not. And this is part of a larger pattern when you open it up to all aspects of their powers, going right to the essential one, the most essential one, being our border. I mean, we still have this terrible situation of a border that is porous, amnesty and so on. So all of these things need to be always looked at in as wide a lens as possible so that we do see these patterns and try to get a real handle on who is protecting us and who is not. It's not the federal government at this point. It's very shocking to conceive of this, but this is where we are in 2014, turning the corner.
Let me put a fine point on this, because a place where we've actually seen an unlikely source come forward and bear witness to the kind of problem that we have, the enemy within, I guess I would call it, of an Islamic supremacist group called the Council on American Islamic Relations, and another called the Muslim American Society, both of which have been established in federal court, are in fact fronts for the Muslim Brotherhood, have been called out as such by, of all places, the United Arab Emirates recently. And the Obama administration apparently wants no part of this designation, either of these folks as terrorist organizations or of the Muslim Brotherhood as such. Again, Diana, what do we make of this kind of attitude and the degree to which it may be exposing us, if not to violent jihad at home at the moment, perhaps at the very least, what the Brotherhood calls civilization jihad, a subversive version of it?
Well, this shows us the extent to which our elected leaders and their bureaucracies are sympathetic with the enemies of our republic. I mean, that's the fine point on this. It's astonishing. I mean, when you look at the UAE's designation, we shouldn't need the UAE to tell us what is and is not a terrorist entity and related group. I mean, we know this to be the case. The UAE has its own, it's an extremely dictatorial, unfree state based on Sharia and so on. So it's not like they're a beacon of something that has the can give an imprimatur, but it is quite fascinating to see that for their own purposes they do recognize this entity and others as threats to their own powers.
And no less fascinating that we fail to be doing so ourselves. Diana, I'm afraid we're out of time. There's so much more to talk about. We look forward to our visits so much each week, and thank you for joining us on this occasion. Keep up the terrific work you do with your columns. Again, you can find them at dianawest.net, and please be sure to check out her two books, Death of a Grown-Up and also American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. Diana West, we'll talk with you again soon. Next up, we'll talk with Representative Mike Kelly about the Internet coming under new management. How's that going to work out for you? Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.